Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jean-Paul Lavoisier, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Tune in. It's a blast.
Good evening, everyone. Today is June 2nd, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne. The number to call in is 347-945-5423. Please join in the chat room and make sure you rate the show when it's done. Every little bit helps for Stardish Radio. Couple of side notes I have to mention real quick. June is going to be a really busy month for Stardish, so make sure you check out our MySpace calendar. Just so you know, tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, I'll have Linda Dano. And immediately following her will be Manai Noji and Kent King from General Hospital. And those of you who are with me on Friday waiting for the interview with Katie McLean that never happened, we have rescheduled her for June 4th at a special time of 8 p.m. So make sure you tune right back in for that. And check out our calendar on MySpace for the rest of the details of the rest of the week and month. Now, that being said, tonight's show, we are having one of the hottest newcomers to One Life to Live. And, I'm sure he's settled in by now, but he portrays Jared Banks, the bad boy gone good, or I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen with that story. So please, everybody, let's welcome John Brotherton to Stardish Radio.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you, John?
I am fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
I'm sorry?
I said thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming. Oh, my gosh. I was so excited when you accepted. It's fantastic. I'm very excited to have you on the show.
Excellent, excellent. So what's going on?
So let me congratulate you on the part of Jared. You're doing a fantastic job with such an interesting guy.
Ah, well, thank you so much. He's a blast. I'm having too much fun. So
you have brought a much-needed breath of fresh air to Landview. And it makes for interesting with the entire Buchanan clan.
Right.
So it's really interesting to see how all this is going to play out with Jared, and I'm glad you're there. Let's start with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, no,
Tell me a little bit on how you ended up in Landview.
Well, literally, I mean, I'm pretty much a classic actor tale. After college, I packed my car up with everything I had, with nothing but I-5 South ahead of me. I lived up in the Northwest, and I headed to L.A., and I did the waiter thing, and I bounced, and I worked doors, and kind of did what I could to pursue my dream. And then, you know, you go on one audition, and then the next audition, the next, and you never know what's going to happen. And then one day, Mark Teshner called me in, who is the casting director for General Hospital, one of the greatest men in Hollywood, and he said, hey, I got this part. He called my agent, but he said, there's this part that I'd like John to read for because I'd read for him before and something, and he said, it's in New York for One Life. Come in up when I'm on tape and send it back east. I said, great. I appreciate you looking out and helping me out. I came in, I read, and then time went on. Like any audition, you try to put it out of your head. And it was probably 2 weeks past, so I didn't even think about it since then. I had gone on other things here and there. And I got a call from my manager, and he said, John, do you have One Life to Live? I started laughing. I said, sure, why? And he said, because they want to fly to New York to test. So I was thrilled, of course. And I went to New York to test, and then they told me they're going to have me back the following – this was on a Friday – and they asked me to come back the following Friday to test one more time, which was fine with me. I was like, hey, as long as I'm still in the running. So I went back and tested twice, and I was in the airport heading home. They said I wouldn't know till the following week, so I wasn't expecting anything. And I was literally in line at the gate waiting to get on the plane to head back to L.A., and my manager called, and I was on a five-way phone call. Him and my other manager were on speakerphone along with my agents. And one of my agents said, how do you like the weather in New York? And I said, I could get used to it. And they said, well, congratulations, pack your bag, go home and pack your bags. You're moving. So that's exactly what I did. I had maybe 5 days to pack my bags and head to Landview. So, but it's been a treat. It's been a dream come true. It's,
fantastic. Have you ever watched One Life or heard of it or soaps and stuff like that? Are you familiar with it?
Heard of it, yes, of course, but watched it. I have to admit that I wasn't a big watcher, but it was probably a good thing because I went in there with no sort of preconceived notions. I didn't know
right.
who was who, you know, whether they're some big soap star or not, and it was probably a good thing because I was able to just go in there and focus on my work and focus on
right.
my job at hand. Which I think is the most important thing any
mm-hmm.
day you head into the office. But you know, now I do.
So now how would you describe Jared from day one to day now? What has changed with Jared?
You know, on your little pregame speech, I think you were pretty spot on. I guess you could say he's sort of a bad guy gone good or a good guy gone
mm-hmm.
bad. The way, because I think he started his life, you know, in his backstory as a good guy. He was working as a bartender, trying to get to college, and then Tess came along and sort of turned his world upside down.
Right.
And so as anyone would have spending 2 years in prison, I don't care who you are, it would rub off on you.
Oh yeah,
so,
right.
So that kind of, I think, added a little edge to Mr. Ambitious, Jared Banks.
Right.
Which I couldn't as an actor I couldn't love more because I feel like he's got a lot of layers to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the soap world, I think you can find plenty of stuff to play.
He has
the sort of the edge and the bad boy thing going for him, but he also, you know, he has the heart, which I think is important to make him real. So to speak.
Right, right.
So
in today's theme,
for the
purposes. I'm sorry?
Well, I was just going to say, and for the love purposes, making him real or a good guy, so to speak, is always a good thing.
Right, and I have to say, from day one, when you came on, I was a little iffy, you know, like, okay, what's this guy going to be like? But then,
yes.
from then until now, I think today is when I really saw the actual heart of Jared. Today was the scenes in the BE, or was it not today's or yesterday's? I don't know. I'm a couple days behind. I was watching some today. And the scenes in the BE boardroom when Dorian came in and announced that you were not a Buchanan. And I
right.
saw the look on your face, and I felt for him. You know, I was like, oh, my gosh, I don't care if he's not or not. I feel so terrible for him because
right.
he doesn't deserve what's coming.
Right, sure. Well, I mean, he definitely, I guess on one hand, he deserves it. But being, like, that's kind of where the good guy comes in, is he's not a vicious villain that's been trying this whole time to, you know, pull one over on BE. He just got caught up in a scam and he was in the process of sort of backtracking, and he wanted to spill the beans, but he wanted, you know, his dad to tell Vicky first.
Right,
so
right.
he wouldn't lose everything. And they were, him and Natalie were seriously setting a plan in motion to sort of uncover everything,
right.
and retrace their steps. And then Dorian comes along.
She's
good for some drama.
Dramatic as ever in that outfit that she wore that day. That's hysterical.
It was
really something to look at. Very dramatic.
Robin is great. She showed up on set that day, and I died. It couldn't be perfect.
So now, who on the show that you have not that Jared hasn't interacted with that you would like him to see interact with? I should say.
Well, in fact, it's funny you say that because Trevor and I. Trevor's a good buddy of mine, but him and I were having a conversation today. Trevor St. John, who plays Todd,
mm-hmm.
that Todd and Jared, because we were in a scene together today. We didn't speak to each other, but we were in a scene together because it was a big group scene,
right.
and we happened to be sitting next to each other. I turned to him in the middle of the scene when the cameras were off, and I said, "Hey, I'm Jared." He's like, "I'm Todd," and we realized that this whole time, I mean, him and I have become friends, but we've never worked together.
Right.
I would love to. I'd love to go head to head with him. I think he's a very strong actor and individual on the show, and I'd love a little Jared and Todd meeting matchup. I think you could.
Oh yeah, that would be really interesting.
A storm.
Because then you would bring the bad boy back out of Jared. Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely.
Yes. He would definitely
absolutely.
Bring that side of Jared out. So I think that would be fun. And you know, other than that, they've been at this point. It's been great. I've got to work with most people, and I have so much fun. I love working with all the older guys that have been on the show for a while. They're just pros,
mm-hmm.
like Erica and Bob Woods, and you know, Hillary Smith is as good as it gets. And
right.
So and they're great mentors, and so really everyone on a different day is really fun to work with.
Right.
But yeah, I guess Trevor would be the answer to that question.
That would be a fantastic storyline right there. I would like to see that. Can you comment on the loss of Forbes as a coworker?
Yeah, you know, Forbes, the place Forbes plays in my heart is he was the first guy really I worked with on the show.
Right.
And he was the one that sort of showed me the ropes, so to speak, in the very beginning because, you know, on day one, he's who I worked with. My first day ever was, it didn't air this way, it aired in a different sequence, but my first day of work was the card game that I played with him at Roxy's house. So the first people I ever worked with were Eileen and Forbes, Nash and Roxy. So, and from there on out, for the next couple of weeks, I worked with Forbes just about every day. So I spent a lot of time in his dressing room. You know, I was still living in a hotel because that's where they set you up in the beginning. And so I had tons of questions for him, and he had tons of answers for me. And, you know, he'd been doing it on our show for a few years, and he'd been on All My Children before that, and just been working. So, you know, and he's a family guy. You know, he's not some. The one thing I was worried about is coming out here I didn't know what to expect as far as the other characters, not the characters on the show, but the characters of actors I'm working with. And I was pleasantly surprised. So, you know, he really, I think Forbes is a tremendous guy, and he kind of showed me the ropes in the beginning. So having him go was sort of like, I don't know, it was kind of my first experience of losing a cast member. I've talked to other people, you know, they've been on the show for years, and they say how, you know, people come and go, and you make relationships, and then they're gone, and something happens, and he was my first real experience of that, so. But,
and then I was reading that Jared actually has a hand in his demise also, wow.
He does, I think Jared has everything, and every problem that's popping up in Landview. Yes, he does. I don't know how much I can comment on, but he, in sort of, I don't want to say indirect.
Well, I read it somewhere that in one of these magazines I have in front of me that he gets pushed through a skylight or something.
Yeah, basically, Jared is held responsible, but not liable, I guess you could say, because there was no intention. But yeah, he is. I mean, Jared is the cause, the ultimate cause. Kind of. I mean, there's a chain of events that go off. It's actually,
that's,
I think, a great little storyline. And then the dynamics that it makes the family, the dynamics it creates within the family, in the aftermath of all of it, I think is Ron, our head writer, has done a terrific job of really creating true, honest family emotions that happen, not just like, you know, some car crash happens and everyone freaks out, which has been great for us as actors. But yeah, Jared definitely has a hand in his death, as you will see in the next few days. And then, of course, you can imagine how that turns out from the rest of the family, what they think of Jared
absolutely.
After that.
And then it's also unfolding of the fact that you're not actually, that Jared's not actually a Buchanan. So all this is going to mesh into that. So that's going to be
correct. In fact, it all happens in pretty much one day, one Landview day, which means, you know, a while on TV. But but yeah, it all kind of unfolds at once. Just as he was trying to do good, just as he was trying to save Nash's vineyard, just as he was trying to tell everyone the truth. But you know, he had it coming. You gotta stick your chest out and deal with it. So that's what we're in the process of doing right now, what we're shooting. And thank God he's got Natalie and they're doing great. Because you can imagine the family's not thrilled with her when they find out that she's been on my side. So
drama
ensues.
I'm telling you, and that's why we love the soaps, because it's like, you know, an escape from our own reality, you know? Perfect. Let's see. Also, I wanted to ask you, I mean, now that you're in the soaps, you'll notice that soap fans really are probably the most loyal fans in the entire entertainment industry.
They really, truly are.
You had any interactions yet? Crazy, good, bad, indifferent?
Well, you know, the thing I say is any interaction with a fan is something that you got to get used to because it's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's also very bizarre as a human being. But it's a wonderful thing. So it's always interesting when someone, you're just, you know, casually walking out of the studio and someone approaches you and says, oh my, you know, this, that, or the other thing, can I get a picture, an autograph? And it's always, every time, it's sort of, you're taken aback, like, you do know I was waiting tables a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's that kind of thing. But, you know, everyone's been, I haven't had any, you know, crazy tales. You know, you get some letters that sometimes you go, wow, that, you know, can sort of shock you.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's, look, the gig is as good as it gets. I mean, having a job
right.
and paying my bills as an artist is a dream mm-hmm. come true. So I don't, you know, I don't necessarily have any crazy stories yet, but I guess it's early in the game.
Oh, it is. It is so early for you. Especially if you end up at, like, Super Soap Weekend, forget about it.
Right,
and
definitely.
Then I think you've got the One Life to Live fan club lunch coming up in August.
Uh-huh.
So you'll definitely, yeah. But Super Soap will be something, if hopefully you'll get an invitation, which I can't see why they wouldn't give you one. You'll definitely see it there more than any of these other little intimate events that go on in the cities. You know, Super Soap is a whole nother animal, totally different.
That's what my co-stars tell me. They say, mm-hmm. for that weekend, you are a rock star in Disneyland.
Exactly.
So that
exactly.
should be fun, though. In fact, I just went to Disneyland. We went down there for a charity event for Tales and Pots, this event last month, and went
yes,
to Disneyland for
right.
my first time. I rode my first roller coaster.
So, oh, really?
It was a kick. I had an absolute blast.
Oh,
so I'm excited
good,
to go
good.
Back for Super Soap.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. Disney is great. I mean, I live in Florida, and I don't get up there as much as I probably should. It's really sad. I think the only time I really do get there is in, like, November and December. But
I'll tell
yeah.
you what, I had so much fun. I grew up in the Northwest, which is, like, the opposite end of the country. And there's
yeah.
no roller coasters up there. We don't have any big parks. We either snowboard or surf or ski.
Right.
That's kind of our idea. So it was my first time on any sort of big roller coaster. We went on like Space Mountain and Thunder
mm-hmm.
Mountain, Splash Mountain, and I was like a kid in a candy store. We were running around
wow.
Disneyland. I felt like it was so fun. It was magical. I can only imagine as a child how fun
yeah.
that place got to be. And we went late at night where there was not lines, which was
right,
a bonus.
Right. Oh,
and
that's
no
fantastic.
Heat beating on you. Yeah. So.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, let me see here. How is your fiance handling your newfound fame through Landview?
I think you know.
And
I think
girls.
She's. She's good on that front. We've been having a blast, you know, and she's from out here, so having moved across the country, for her, you know, her family, she got to be close to her family, which is great.
Wonderful.
So, you know, and she's doing her thing. She's an actress as well. We met in acting class. And so she's just kind of, you know, now because it's New York, she's going to attack the New York field and kind of go from there.
Oh, good.
So, you know, the fact that we met as actors, she understands, you know, I know everyone always asks, you know, how does it, you know, work when, you know, you have scenes with girls or whatnot, but if anything, it's funny because my closest friends on the show are the people that obviously that I've worked with a lot, which ends up being on the girl side, and they become
right.
friends with Allie. You know, Allie's good friends with Melissa now, and it's just kind of, you know, it's not as sort of fantastic and magical as you would think, because for us, it's really this, like, it's a grinding out work day. We show up and we're shooting 100 pages a day, so if it's a day where we have
right.
to, you know, have some, you know, make-out scene or some bed scene,
right.
it is technical and is, like, formatted and is scheduled and is unromantic as you could possibly make it.
Oh,
so,
yeah, and then you've got a million people watching you, too, in the meantime, so...
Totally, there's a cast and crew, and it'll be cut, can you move your hand, you know, 2 inches to the left, because you're blocking this, and we don't want her hair doing this, so it's very, you know, everything is so calculated, which takes away from, you know, but that's, you know, that's especially soap opera world, because everything is so technical, because it's technically demanding the amount of work
right.
we do every day.
Right.
It's boot camp for actors. It's great. I mean, it's like it couldn't be a better more intense sort of training ground as an actor. You're working every day. Mm-hmm. You have a script. The stakes are high. You do get rewarded. You get a paycheck. It's not just like going to class.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're basically auditioning every day. You got to fight for your rights. So it's fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I usually do this little cartoon question I'm going to ask you. Now that's what time it is. My cartoon question. Okay. You are the lead in a soap that ABC is creating, and it will be animated with known cartoon characters.
Uh-huh.
You are also responsible for assigning yourself and the cast the cartoon characters based on their personality in real life. So your cast will consist of J.P. Lavoisier, Forbes March, Bree Williamson, Melissa Archer, and Farrah Fath.
Okay. Interesting. So you want me to tie cartoon characters to them?
Yes. This is an animated soap.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's start with JP. I would say is Mighty Mouse. I guess. Who else? Farrah Fath.
We have Forbes.
Forbes. I'd make Forbes like Wolverine, I think, from X-Men, something like that.
And then Bree.
I want to say like Ice Woman or something. You know, like I guess I'm doing superheroes more than I am doing cartoons.
Well, that's fine. It's still a cartoon. The chick from Fantastic Four, right?
Right. Yeah.
And that turned into Ice.
Uh-huh, yes. I think maybe Halle Berry played her. I don't know. I didn't see those movies, so don't quote me on that.
I think it was Jessica Alba, yeah.
Yes. Melissa Archer, I see in a totally different direction, more like a strawberry shortcake.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, she's such a doll. Farrah Fath, what would she be? I feel like she'd be like... who's Charlie Brown's girl?
Oh, Lucy?
Lucy. Maybe like a Lucy, yeah.
Oh, okay. And what about you?
Superman.
All right. You can't beat that. You got to cast yourself as the best, man.
Exactly. Come on.
You got to stick to best for yourself. That is too funny. All right. Well, John, are you ready to take some callers? I got some people hanging online.
Sure.
Okay.
My pleasure.
All right. Let's go to area code 561. You're on the phone with John. 561.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Is this really John?
this really John.
Ah, how are you? I love watching you on the show.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure.
What's your name?
My name is Garrett.
Okay.
Where are you from, Garrett?
Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, okay, cool. Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, my question would be, whatever happened to, this might seem a little obscure, but what happened to Jared's ring that he used to wear?
Oh, this is such a great story. That's awesome. Okay, that's so funny. So the pinky ring that I had to wear the first day of shooting, which is actually that scene we just talked about, that the card game with Forbes, with Nash, I used the pinky ring as my pot because I was out of money. And so then Jared was stuck with this pink ring, and every day it became like almost a hassle with wardrobe. Like, do you have your ring? And I did. I was like a routine. I had my ring on every day. And I have to be honest, it was perfect for Jared Banks. For John Brotherson, it's not exactly his ring. But so the day that we shot the show where I fell off the building and saved Jessica's life, and I'm hanging on by the gutter.
Right.
When we had to, I was hanging up there. They had me strapped where I was attached to the building. And so all the stuff that you could see my face, they shot. But then when they shot the actual fall, they brought in a stunt double. Well, you could see his hands on the gutter, so they had to put the ring on his finger. But on the close-up, when he actually jumped off the gutter, the one camera was tight on his hands. And when
the ring fell off.
The ring was flying, and it was very obvious on that shot. And I was watching the camera. I mean, I was watching the monitor along with a few other people. And I saw it. Everyone kind of pointed at it. They're like, the Rubik flying. And so that was it. That's the story. It ended up flying off of Jared after that, when he saved Jessica's life and was hanging on for dear life.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just surprised. I was just surprised they never mentioned it again on the show or anything. It's like,
yeah,
oh, it's this expensive ring and you never even said anything about it.
No, I know. Because, you know, it wasn't like something that was written in that. It was more of a joke between me and Wardrobe. Like, now we don't have to. The ring is flying. Like, you know, it's gone now. So,
that's great.
That's funny. Yeah, that's funny that you know. Oh. And now I think my sister has it. So.
Oh, well, thanks. Continue to stay on the show. I really, really enjoy watching you.
Well,
and I hope you stay for a long time, and good luck with your marriage.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sure.
You have a
thanks,
good one.
Thanks, Garrett.
Okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, John, the next caller I'm going to take, she might stutter a little bit, but we're gonna help her. She's very nervous,
sure.
Okay?
Oh,
her name is
yeah.
Amanda. Amanda, you're on the phone with John. Oh, did she hang up? No, she didn't.
No, I'm here.
Are you kidding me?
Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
Hi. well, I guess I just wanted to say, you know, I love you so much. I, like, watch every day for
you. Thank you.
I was also wondering, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing?
You know, you mean acting or the show, specifically?
acting, I guess.
You know, to be honest, I don't know, because I was a business student in college. I was a diehard business student. I was very committed. You know, I was in getting good grades and making connections and corporate world, go, because that's what I thought I was supposed to do. But it never, like, tickled my heart. I was an actor as a hobby on the side. It was my minor. I had grown up doing it for fun. And it came to a point one day where I realized it's what eternally makes me happy as an artist, and it is to be able to express and be an actor. And so to this day, like when I moved to LA and committed to, you know, pursuing my dream, so to speak, but for me it was just pursuing my career. I knew that I didn't have any other, in my mind there was no other choice. People said, oh, it's a good thing you got your business degree because you have something to fall back on. Well, I would always say, well, you know, if I was planning on falling back on anything, I wouldn't do it in the first place. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, all I could say right now is it would be something else in the industry. I love to write and I love to direct, but I couldn't. It's one of those things. It's a love-hate thing. Like, if you don't have to do it, I would say to anyone, don't do it, because it's one of the most difficult things in the world to pursue an acting career. But if it's something that makes you happy, there's nothing better in the world. So, you know, if I wasn't, I guess I'd be grinding out some job somewhere if I wasn't an actor and trying to find a way to express myself. So, if that answers your question, I don't know, maybe not.
Yeah, it pretty much does.
So, it's just something, you know, it's really, I love to go to work. I love to act. I absolutely love it. It's something, as a child, my mom and me, it was something we always looked for in movies. I grew up, you know, going to the art house type films with my mom and breaking down movies and talking about the performances as, like, you know, an elementary school kid. So it was just always something that was, but it was never like a pressure thing. It was never like, God, you have to go to, it was just something that was a love. And so it's just, now it's translated into a career, so. Thank the powers above. It's been a blessing. So.
Well, that's a wonderful story.
Oh, well, it's funny. It is a little side note. Speaking of when I was young and my mom's influence, I'll never forget one day I was actually called to the principal's office out of class, out of geometry class, and I figured I was in trouble. And halfway down the hall, my mom's walking down the hall, and she comes up to me. This is probably a bad story to tell, but she comes up to me and she's like, you want to go to the movies? She totally came to my school in junior high and pulled me out of class. I think we went to Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
But, you know,
there's nothing wrong with that. You had a cool mom.
Yeah, she was. She's as cool as a guest. Yes. I mean, she was also very supportive. And I mean, look, I didn't get away with anything on the same note, so it's not like she was sitting back. But I always worked hard in school, so it wasn't like she was influencing me not to go up to school. But
right.
That just shows
right.
you. sort of, you know, the kind of culture I grew up around. You know, my mom's an artist, and mm-hmm. expression's important for us. And so yeah, one thing leads to the next, and all of a sudden, it's what pays your bills.
That's so great.
Yeah.
You still there, Amanda?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just listening.
Okay.
Where are you from, Amanda?
I'm from Illinois.
Oh, okay, cool. I've never been to Illinois. Go Barack, though.
It's nothing special.
Go Obama. He's fingers crossed. So, any other questions?
I guess what makes you get up in the morning to go to work, or just get up in general?
Yeah, you know what's funny? I've compared. That's always my response to my work. It's the one thing besides love that makes me fire out of bed if I know I get to go to work or go act or go, you know, if I have a gig or back in L.A., if I booked a commercial or something funny, you know, whatever, whether it's paying the bills or not, whether you're just getting up to do it. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Challenge, excitement, something, new frontier. That's the great thing about going to work. It's different every day, which makes it exciting. So, because other than that, I will hit snooze for hours. You can ask my fiance. I'm not quick to jump out of bed unless, like I said, if I have to go to work, then forget about it. It doesn't matter how much sleep I'm up and at 'em.
Okay. So. All right. Well, Amanda, thank you so much for calling in. We're going to move on to some other callers.
Thank you, Amanda. You have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All righty. So let's switch over here to area code 904. You're on the phone with John. 904?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, it's your Jet. Hi, John.
How are you doing?
Good. I saw you like 3 weeks ago in Florida. You did that scene with me on stage.
Oh, excellent. How are you? Yeah, we had some fun, huh?
Yep, that was great. That was great. I just called to say hello. He did awesome for you, those of you that weren't there. He was so funny. He went gay on us. It was hilarious. The funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm just sitting there. I couldn't even read because I didn't have my glasses on. He's like sitting there making fun of me. It was so funny. And I just sat there and laughed the whole time while he was sitting there doing the talking. It was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, we had fun.
Oh, great.
What happened was it was at Tales and Tots, and they auctioned off a scene. You could do a scene, and three of the actors, we got up there and did the same scene with different people, and she was one of them. And so we all had to do the different scene. And, of course, all of us tried to put our own little spin on it to make it entertaining. So it was it was fun. We had fun with it. I may have been a little more flamboyant than the other two.
Yeah, I'll say. I don't know my clip. What? No, I was going to say, who else was on the stage with you? What other actors?
Brandon went. He did the scene as Jack Nicholson, which was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I heard
really
he does really good impressions.
And then the other one was Dominic Raines.
Oh, yeah. He'll be on our show next week.
Oh, he's great.
Really funny. Yeah,
he was funny. And so, yeah, we all did it sort of a different way. It was. I'm not familiar with... too familiar with General Hospital, but it was Sonny's bodyguard, and he was at dinner with some girl.
It was with Diane. It was a Max and Diane scene. It was hilarious.
Yeah, so it was funny.
Yeah, my question's kind of weird,
okay.
But since I was seeing you that you did gay really well, if you could pick a character on One Life to Live to play as, like, side as being gay, who would you pick and why?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Say that again?
Okay, so since you played gay really well, I said
right.
If you could pick a character on One Life to Live and be a gay couple on the show with, who would you pick and why?
If I were to be in a gay couple on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, what a question.
that's why I said it was a little weird.
I don't know how to answer that question. I guess it would be I don't know. Maybe Bob Woods.
Oh, okay. That's who you have your man crush on?
No, I don't know. He's probably the furthest thing from it. So that's why I thought it would be fun. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they would ever even go that route. There's no reason they shouldn't. But
that would be different.
If they were ever to turn characters, I think that would be a little odd. It'd be one thing to introduce characters, but to take existing characters, I don't know.
I'm waiting to see Jared has some, like, family members other than his dad, like siblings or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. I sure would love that. It's always nice to have family on a soap opera because family's drama, like the Buchanans. I thank the heavens that Brian came along to play Charlie because we have such a great time together. I think the world of Brian Kerwin, and my fingers are crossed for him at the Emmys this year. But I'm just so fortunate they gave me a father because it really gave us a good storyline to play. It made us very real, I guess you could say.
Yeah, he's really cool. I got to meet him when I was there in New York in April, so he's really cool.
He is, I mean, he's as cool as it gets. He's a great coworker. He works hard and such a terrific actor. If anyone gets the chance to go to his show on Broadway, August, it won the Pulitzer this year. Tracy Letts is the playwright, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And Brian is dynamite in it, and he plays a character that's the polar opposite of Charlie Banks, which is so fun to see. My respect for him as an actor just went through the roof when I went and saw him because I got to see him in such a new light. So if anyone is in New York and wants to go to a great Broadway show, go see August.
All right. Well, anyways, it was good talking to you. I'm sure I'll see you later sometime.
You too. You have a good one, Bridget.
Bye, Georgette.
Bye.
All right. Let's go over here to area code 615. 615, you're on the phone with John.
Hi, John.
Hi, how are you? I'm fantastic.
Good. I was at the Tales and Tots event as well.
Oh,
that was great fun. I was in the happy hour with Justice, so we were sitting at the same table.
Oh, cool. Very
you were
cool,
with,
yeah.
You were with my two friends, Meredith and Michelle.
Yes, that was fun.
And just want to thank you for that. You were
oh,
great
pleasure.
And awesome. And
our pleasure.
It's good. It's nice, you know, that all you soap actors want to spend time with your fans. I think that's great. So,
of course. Hey, we have a job.
And I hadn't watched One Life to Live for a very long time, and a couple of my friends were like, you need to watch because there's this really great couple, and you and Melissa are the reason I started watching again. So.
Well, thank you. We have
and,
really fun.
Well, can you give us any insight on what's going to happen now that everyone knows that Jared's on a Buchanan as far as you and Natalie?
Well, I think it's one of those things that, you know, kind of brings you closer in a weird way because we become the outcasts of the family. And so inevitably we hang on to each other tighter. And so, you know, we're not too far into that storyline because this is all just happening. But what it has happened is her and I have sort of become isolated. Jared, Natalie, and Landview have kind of become isolated. There's a few people that obviously we have remained that haven't completely shut the door on us, like my father, Charlie, and then in Roxy, who's kind of always takes in the stray dogs. But other than that, we've become very isolated, which has brought us closer and continues to create our love to grow. So, and we'll see where
right,
it goes.
Right, I can't
there.
Wait.
Yeah. So.
Not bad. Continue success with the show and good luck with your wedding.
Thank you so much. Yes, the clock is ticking. I have 6 days.
So, oh, okay. Are you getting married in 6 days? Oh,
yes.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
You
bye, John.
Okay. Bye bye.
You too. Bye.
Oh, so the big day is Saturday.
Yes. The big day, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, good date. Yeah, that's really good. Nice and casual.
Yeah,
never forget that.
No, exactly. And that just sort of happened. It was by chance. And all of a sudden we realized, hey, 6, 7, 8. It's kind of a little jingle.
Wonderful. Is it going to be a big ceremony or?
No, we're keeping it pretty small and intimate. You know, my family's all, her family's here, but my family's small and spread out. So I have a few people coming in, and so we're keeping things simple, which is great. Our acting teacher is marrying us, and we're kind of having a small little ceremony, nothing too over the top, too formal. Just the way we like it, which is great.
Oh, good. Oh, so well, that answers my question about if you're going to be at the softball game on Saturday.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah, I'm actually flying up from Florida for that game.
It was something. It's funny, when I first worked on the show, someone had asked me about, and I was all excited because I thought that would be great. That's the kind of stuff I you know, love to participate in. But it just so happens that this year I'm not going to be able to make it. So.
Okay.
For sure.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to bring on another caller. Her name is Maggie.
Okay.
And she's a very big fan of One Life to Live, in particular, Kirsten Alderson. So let's bring Maggie on. Maggie, you're on the phone with John.
I'm John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm Daddy. How is Kirsten and Buddy?
I love, how do I like Brandon? Is that what you said?
Brandon Buddy.
How like to work with him?
Oh, with Brandon. You know, Brandon's is down to earth and is a solid dude as you get, which is nice. He's sort of a breath of fresh air. And we've recently become closer and closer because as characters, we haven't worked together too much. We've had a little bit together, which was fun because when I was living at the Buchanan house, he was sort of under my wing for a minute. So we had some fun. But as an individual, I mean, he's as nice of a guy and as grounded as a guy as it gets. In fact, tomorrow we're going golfing. So, yeah, he's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah, I love Ben, buddy. I love.
He's a great guy.
He's so cute.
I'll tell him you said that. He'll be flattered.
Yeah. What's up? I have one more question for you. What time do you wake up in the morning for work?
Well, it kind of depends. If we shoot in the morning, like my schedule will either tend to be whether I shoot before lunch or I shoot after lunch. And then if you shoot in the morning, it means you have to rehearse between 7 and 8. If you shoot in the afternoon, you rehearse at 1. So if I have to be there, say, at 7:30, I get up an hour and a half before I have to be at work, which means I get up at 6 for a 7:30 call because I like to have my routine in the morning, and I like to get there early and sort of go over my stuff and do the crossword and sort of wake up for the day, grab a cup of coffee. So if it's early, I'm getting up at 6, and if it's later, if it's a 1 o'clock call, I kind of let myself wake up.
Whoever work with Kristen Alderson, whoever work with her?
I have not. No, I take that back. I've worked with her one day because I was working with Brandon, and her character, Star, comes in to take Brandon. This is right after his mom had died. Star's mom had died. And that's the only day I'd worked with her. But, of course, I see her all the time, and she's sweetheart, and her little brother, of course, Eddie.
I love her.
Yeah, they're
she's so busy, and I want to be busy with her. I love her everything. I love her so much. She's so busy.
Well, I will let her know you said that. She's a sweet girl, and yes, she's extremely pretty.
I want to be busy. That's my car.
Maggie, you're a very pretty girl, Maggie.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Okay, thank you, Maggie.
Bye.
You have a good night.
Bye. Oh, I love that girl so much.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
She calls in for every show. She's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful girl. We're going to go to Texas, I believe. Area code 512.
Hey, Joanne, how you doing?
My buddy Brandon.
Hi, John. My name is Brandon. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, bud?
Pretty good. My question actually got answered while I was waiting on hold. I was going to ask you about working with Brian Kerwin. But
I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on about Brian. I think he's the most solid dude.
I'm wondering if you're looking forward to kind of the evolution of Jared and Charlie's relationship now that kind of the secret's out and you don't have to pretend anymore that you don't really know him or that you're not related. I'm wondering if you're looking forward to how it's going to unfold now.
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I look forward every time I get a script and I see that I'm working with Brian, I'm fired up. So that means that we're on good terms or we're fighting or whatnot. I look forward to them continuing to explore those two characters and maybe going into cahoots a little more and getting to do, you know, more as a sort of a team versus being on opposite ends and sparring every time we get together. So that'll be fun. But like I said, anytime I get a script, there's those actors on the show that when I get my script, you know, a week in advance and I see that I'm working with them, I'm fired up, and he's definitely one of them. We have a great time. He's one that we always rehearse beforehand very well together, and he's a very dedicated actor, which is nice and fun. I look forward to every day I work with Brian. He's just a pro, man. He's someone you can learn a lot from.
Yeah, and he's worked in all kinds of mediums, too. I'm wondering, you two kind of started on the show together, and I'm just wondering, you know, if you've kind of leaned on each other, because it's a super fast pace, and it's certainly faster than anything he's been used to, and I'm sure you, too.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think in some ways we have leaned on each other, because we did kind of come on at the same time. Obviously, we have similar storylines. Like I said, he works in, you'll be watching the movie and all of a sudden you're like, there's Brian. He's one of those guys that is, you know, he's supported his family and lived his life as an actor. And I think that's one of the most tremendous things possible, to be able to live your whole life and have your art feed you. So, and he's one of them. And part of the reason is he's just a stand-up guy. Everyone loves him. He's just always gracious and humble and nice. And a joy on set. So yeah, I've learned a lot from him. I probably learned a little more from him than I think he's learned from me. I've just sort of tagged along.
So. I also have another quick question, if I could. I've read several reports that Robin Strasser and Tuck Watkins are pretty notorious ad-libbers, and I'm wondering if you haven't worked with them extensively, but you worked with them, you know, quite a bit recently, especially. And I'm just wondering if they've thrown you any curveballs that you weren't ready for. How you feel about that in general?
Yeah, hey, I love it because any real moment is great. You know, we don't get to ad-lib as much as we'd like being in a soap that you have so much exposition all the time. You have to tell the story, recap. There's sort of certain formats to that, so the viewers are always kind of clued into what's going on. But, you know, you can throw stuff. Tuff's just, he's just fun, man, because he's a comic relief, I'll tell you what. He definitely throws some curveballs at
it,
you.
It seems like half the stuff that comes out of his mouth, he just thought of that second.
Yeah. I mean, either then or we'll be sitting there and he's like, oh, I'm going to say this or, you know, which is, I love it. But at the same time, my character's always upset with him. And yet he throws these comments at me and I want to lose it and I want to laugh. And of course you hear kind of giggling on the, you know, you can hear it on the headphones, people in the booth and you can, people in the, you know, the crew or whatnot. Sometimes you can just feel the energy, people trying to hold it in. But hey, that's the good stuff, you know, is that sort of fun we have on set. But yeah, he's a kick in the pants. We have a good time.
And is Robin Strasser as larger than life in real life as she is on the show?
She is, man.
That hat she was wearing was unbelievable.
Rocks, dude. She's a rock star. She's so cool. She's obviously not Dorian. Dorian's sort of, I would say, the extreme side of Robin. Because Dorian, that woman that's just, she's crazy as a loon. But Robin, she's, you know, she's been doing it forever. She owns her work, she's just a kick. She's a kick. You never know what Robin's going to say or do. But I have the utmost respect for her, I'll tell you what.
Well, listen, I think you're a terrific addition to the show. It's kind of rare that a new character takes off as well as you have, you know, almost out of the box. And
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
It was a great thrill talking to you tonight, man.
Thank you. You too. You have a good night, man.
You too. Thanks.
Cool.
Night, Brandon.
Bye, Joanne.
Okay, so John, I watched your little movie.
My short, yes.
Yes.
Smith Mike on a Tuesday.
Tell me about that. What was the inspiration for that?
That was two buddies, Rand Holdren, who's one of my closest buddies and is just a stud, in L.A. We have the same management, Gekas Rivera Management, so we had just finished pilot season, and both of us had come close, but no cigar, and we were sitting around on my porch, we were playing chess, We were like, dude, let's do something creative. And then we were like, what do we do? And then it was like, let's throw something on camera this weekend. Let's just set a camera on a tripod and be silly and maybe even edit it together. Maybe take a couple takes and see what we can play around with on the computer. And then that went to, all right, well, let's write a page of dialogue. Well, that one page turned into three pages. And then we were like, well, let's get someone to hold the camera. And then it was like, well, if we're getting someone to hold the camera, let's get sound. So make a long story short, one page turned into 20 pages in, you know, 1 week turned into a year-long project, and we dumped our hearts and souls into it, and we both took the whole thing extremely seriously. We got the greatest group of people together for nothing. We didn't have anything. And we just kind of called in our favors and called our good friends around town and connections and said, can you help us out, our good actor friends and our good friends that work in sound or editing and our camera guys. And, you know, people, our grip package was donated, our lighting package was donated, camera package. I mean, because people, like, kind of saw that we were hungry and wanted to help us out. And I think that, you know, Hollywood sort of works that way. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And we put together something that I'm tremendously proud of. I mean, for having zero resources and not going to film school, it was kind of like we put ourselves through film school in a year. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what to expect. We just wanted to make something that entertained people. We weren't trying to move mountains. We just wanted people either to laugh or cry or smile or just go, man, that was a fun little ride, you know.
Right.
And I couldn't be more proud of it. I mean, you know, if we had $1 million and all the time in the world, sure, there's other things that – But with the resources we had so much fun doing it. And Rand and I just, it was such an experience to go through. You know, we both complement each other well, you know, I'm not just talking about on screen, but behind the scenes, we both brought different things to the table and really had a good time with it. So it's something
any
that.
Any more in the future?
Well, I'll tell you what, I definitely will explore writing and directing more and more in the future. That I'm hooked, and same with Rand. He's been busy writing. I know he's got multiple scripts sort of in the works. And as far as Smith and Mike go, at first it was nothing. That, you know, we just thought, hey, we're going to do this little thing, and I don't think anyone's going to see it. But, you know, now we've been in a handful of festivals, and it's been on MySpace, and we've gotten great feedback. And so we've sort of committed to the idea that at some point, right now it's sort of tough with our schedules, but at some point, and we've written a little bit, but we do want to continue the story, whether writing a feature or writing, say, a series. But either way, something will come of it, and Rand and I will definitely work together at some point. It's not easy to work with someone, I'll tell you what. It's not easy to spend a year trying to put a project together from scratch and sort of figure it out as you go along and write it, co-write it, co-direct it, co-star in it, co-produce it. But in the end, we were nothing but hugs and laughs. It was one of the greatest memories of my life is making that little short film. So I learned so much as an actor, as a writer, as a director, as a casting director, as the business goes. It was a tremendous learning experience.
So how did you decide, like, who the your co-stars were going to be, your co-actors in the short? Like, did you know them, or did you actually just go out and...
No, you know what? Every single person that worked on that film, whether in front of the camera or behind the camera, was a friend. Most of the actors in it, we share the same representation. And so, if nothing else, it was like, hey, man, you want to come out on the weekend? We'll play around. I mean, these are all our buddies we play poker with and, you know, hang out with. And it was kind of like, we're doing this project, you know, my fiance's in it, my cousin's in it, our dear buddies are in it, and so it came down to, you want to come out and help us out on the weekends? We're shooting for two consecutive weekends, and everyone, I mean, there wasn't too much, we didn't get too many no's as far as people saying, hey, yeah, I'd love to come out and help out and do what I can. So we didn't do much searching. Everyone in the film is a friend or family, so...
Did you ever consider doing, like, one of these webisodes, like, on YouTube?
Yeah, no, that's sort of, like I said, whether it be a feature or episodic, that's something that we thought. Because that sort of, the year that we did it, which I guess is 2 years ago now, is sort of when the whole webisode thing started to brew in Hollywood. And so definitely throwing that idea around to do a webisodes at some point. But if we did it, we'd want to do it right. And so,
right.
Like, now's not exactly the time, especially being new with my job and sort of getting grounded in New York and getting grounded with One Life.
Right.
But at some point, I think there's something will come of it.
Well, if you ever get a chance, check out on YouTube. There's an actress who used to be on All My Children, Eden Regal. She played Susan Lucci's daughter, Bianca. And she's doing that now. She has one up there called Imaginary Bitches that
oh,
she
okay.
started with her husband. And she's got a few past actors and actresses from All My Children, and it's really cool that her and her husband did, and they're doing very, very well. I think they've this week or maybe last week they hit over 1 million views or something like that.
Wow, wow.
Pretty interesting.
Wow, yeah, I'm definitely looking into that. That's great. There's something to be said about just getting your buddies together and trying to do something creative because we had fun, you know. We kind of told everyone, hey, if you just show up, we'll feed you well. Other than that, we can't make any promises, but we'll have fun and we'll eat some good food and we'll get a good laugh out of it. So.
Right. Oh, no, that's good. Yeah, definitely check that out. It's really a good show.
Cool, I will, sure.
All right, I think I have time for one more caller, guys. Let's go to area code 615. 615, you're on the phone with John?
Hi, I actually was already on. I just couldn't hear it on the computer, so I'm listening on the phone.
if he has
time, I'd like to know if he liked living in L.A. better or in New York better.
Ooh, tough question. I'll tell you what, there's nowhere else on the earth I would want to live besides those two cities, and I'm saying that loving where I grew up. I grew up in the Northwest between Portland and Seattle, and I think they're the best of the best, especially for raising a family. But in my line of profession and the kind of human being I am, I love to be in the middle of it all. And I feel like L.A. and New York are both in the middle of it all, but yet on the opposite ends of the spectrum. New York I'm loving, but I can tell you what, I ultimately, one day, I don't know when, will end up back in L.A. I really enjoy it there. I like the lifestyle, I like the people, and I love the sun. And I didn't realize how much I loved the sun until I didn't have it for 8 months.
Yeah, it's cold in New York.
Yeah, it's just now getting sunny in New York, which was a little daunting having to deal. Because in New York, you're in the elements every day. You're not you don't go outside and get in your car, and then you have your protective shield. Like when I walk to work, so I'm in it every day. So that can. That can wear you out, but with that being said, the energy of New York I love, and it's definitely a close second, but I think L.A. takes the cake. I just really enjoy, me and my fiance, we have a dog, we were always outside hiking, enjoying the beach, you could do so much without, there was like a sort of unpaid entertainment in L.A. Just by the surroundings, the weather and things like that. So in the laid back, I'm really a big fan of the laid back lifestyle, but yet there is an ambition in the air and an energy in the air in LA, but it's a completely different feel than the energy that's in the air in New York. So.
Okay. Thank you
very much for your question.
Bye-bye.
You have a good night.
Okay. So John, we have 2 minutes left remaining on the show, so I wanted to ask you before you left if you would possibly do a promo for Stardish.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Just, hi, this is John Brotherton, and, you're on Stardish Radio, something like that.
Okay, sure, just, you mean whenever?
Whenever you're ready, because it's already pre-recording.
So, hi, this is John Brotherton, you're listening to Stardish Radio, right?
Right.
We'll start again. Take two.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is John Brotherton. You're listening to Stardish Radio. Have a wonderful night.
That is so perfect. I'm so happy that I got the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your nuptials on Saturday. Best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And I really hope that we'll see you in Super Soap in November because I will be there.
Excellent. Yeah, I hope to make the trip. So. And we'll have to do this again.
Yes, and everyone in the chat room is saying goodbye, and they love you, and they want to just make sure they see more of you on the screen.
Oh, well, excellent. Well, me too. I hope I'm not going anywhere. Tell them all thank you.
All right, John. Thanks a lot, and you have a great night, okay?
You too. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone, thank you so much for calling in. John Brotherton was fantastic. We love him to death. Quick notes, don't forget, 9 p.m. tomorrow, Linda Dana will be with us for a special little 30-minute interview, 10 p.m. Nainoji and Kent King at 10 p.m. from General Hospital. And Katie McLean has been rescheduled. She'll be with us June 4th at 8 p.m., so make sure you check it out. Good night, everyone, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.